Have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overcomes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Now, I believe that we have that verse, but that the verse is different because I memorized it a long time ago and they changed the NIV. Have no fear of sudden disaster, the ruin that overtakes the wicked. And this is where it changes a little bit. Go ahead, switch that. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. So at the church that I was at in San Diego, we had this practice where we'd get together in January. We'd plan what we were going to talk about for the year. And we could switch it, but we would usually stick to it. We'd all get together. We'd come up with our creative ideas. And on a January, we decided that we were going to speak on my favorite verse, one of my life verses, have no fear of sudden disaster. And so it was going to be in July that we were going to talk about this. All right. So right around Easter of that year, I started to feel this tingling down my legs. I'd been doing a lot of bike riding, and so I went to my doctor. He says, well, you can go one of two routes. You can either go to a physical therapist or you can go to a neurologist. All right. So what did I choose? I chose neurologist. Why? Because I'm paranoid. I'm always thinking I'm dying. So I gotta up the game, and we're going to go to the neurologist. So I went to the neurologist, and he tested my feet. You know, have you ever done that? They're like, they poke little, I know that Esther has. And so he said, yeah, I see some nerve damage here. So tell you what, on Friday, we're going to get you in an MRI. Anybody have that privilege? Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. In a metal tube for an hour and a half. As I was getting in the metal tube, they said, would you like us to play some music? I said, that'd be great. What kind? Well, Christian music, if you could. So they put me in the metal tube, and she said, and she yells at me. The tube starts. I hear nothing in my headphones. And so she says, is it loud enough? And I do this. She says, okay, it's good. All right, we'll just leave it like that. So for an hour and a half, it's just dong, 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 dong. That was 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going, okay, well, I'm interested to see how this comes out. They'll probably call me next week when I'm meeting with my neurologist. I got a phone call at 2 o'clock that day saying, hey, Jack, can you come in and meet with your neurosurgeon? That's not, it's never, like, the neurosurgeon's never like, hey, everything's cool. I just have Dodgers season tickets for you. You know, that never happens. So I come in, I meet this really nice neurosurgeon. She's a really pleasant lady. We spent the first few minutes talking about the World Cup soccer that was going on right then. And then she showed me my MRI. And my spinal cord, which should go like this, was going like this because there was a tumor inside of my spinal column. She says, I don't do that kind of surgery, but we have some. Let me see if he's here. So she brought him in, and I had this really pleasant conversation with two neurosurgeons. Now, stupid me, honestly, I thought this. I thought, so what is this, like outpatient? That surgery is 8 hours. They literally have to scrape the muscle off your spinal column, and then they have to work in your spinal column. They said it's like sewing back together gossamer, and you're going to be out for 6 weeks. To add some extra drama, the day before, I just kissed my wife goodbye on a 10-day trip to Uganda. At that point, I had wished that I was going to speak that weekend on Psalm 20, verse 4, which says, may he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. But instead, I was speaking on, have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Now, I know enough about you guys in a year and a half to know that some of you are facing things that feel like sudden disaster. And it could be relational. It could be health issues. We're praying for Esther this week because Esther's going in for another MRI to figure out what's going on with her ankle. I know some of you have lost loved ones. I've just talked about that with you today. What do you do when you face sudden disaster? Proverbs chapter 3 gives us some ways some clues on the character of God when we go through sudden disaster. But here's how we're going to start. I'm just going to let it be quiet for a minute. I want you to bow your head. You may not be in a disaster, and it doesn't have to be a disaster, but you came in with an issue. Just lay that at God's feet and say, God, would you speak to me today in this situation in my life? Lord Jesus, I know you're here. You told us when two or more are gathered, you're here. And I pray, God, that you would do way beyond what I could do as a speaker, that you would speak to these souls who are facing difficult situations and some that are facing sudden disaster. In your name we pray. Amen. So why would anybody memorize these verses? What's the point? Well, you guys know this, most of you, if you've been around here, that the home that I grew up in had lots of sudden disaster. If you grew up in a home of alcohol like I did, your life is a little bit like a snow globe, right? You never know when it's just going to be shook up. And I could actually see around the house these green cans of Rainier Ale would show up. And I knew when those started to show up that my life would be shook up, right? Well, as I started to study this and this passage, I got some ideas on how to deal with sudden disaster. So if you have your Bible, open it up to Proverbs chapter 3. If not, the verses are going to be behind me. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12, this comes before those verses. It says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as the father, the son he delights in. So here's point number one. We need to view disaster as discipline. Okay, now let's go back. Let's think about you growing up. How were you disciplined? Any people had parents with a wooden spoon? Anybody? How about a switch? Okay. Anybody restriction? Gosh, you guys weren't like even parented, right? We were beaten, okay? That's what our mind goes to when we think of discipline, right? Like, there's not a positive view to discipline. But if you read this verse, my son, don't despise the Lord's discipline. Don't resent his rebuke. And that can feel like angry words and a pointed finger and God wagging his finger at you. But then it goes on, it describes it, because the Lord disciplines who? Those he loves. Does he just love them? Those he loves? Keep reading. As a father, the son he delights in. He loves you so much that he's willing to put you through hard things to get the difficult things out of your life. Discipline, when it happens and when it's done right, and I do not think that beating is right in any respect, but when it is done right from the hand of our God, it matters. Okay, let me tell you a story. Dr. James Dobson does all this kind of stuff on parenting, and somebody came and told him this story, so I'm going to tell it to you. There was a kid, his name was Robert. He had a track record of just being a train wreck and nobody could control him, especially when it came to doctor's office visits. You just couldn't control him. Like, there were people that he bit during doctor's visits. So he goes to see a doctor. The doctor, during this visit, gets through it, but notices that little Robert needs to see a dentist. He's got several cavities. So he thinks about it. Who am I going to send this person to? Who's a person that I can sacrifice this friendship by sending him Robert? But he thinks of this old wise dentist, and he sends him to this dentist. So Robert comes in, and Robert says this: if you come over here and try to make me, I will take off all my clothes. And so the old wise dentist says to Robert, you just do whatever you need to do, Robert. So he rips off his shirt, and the dentist says nothing. Then he takes his shoes off. Well, pretty soon, Robert, as an act of defiance, is completely naked in the dentist's office. And then sheepishly gets into the dentist chair. He does his work on his teeth, and then he sets him go. And then Robert says afterwards, can I please have my clothes back now? He says, no, I'm keeping them for 24 hours. And you can go tell your mom. So sheepishly, he walks out and he walks to the car. He gets in the car and they go home. All right? The next day, when the mom comes back to get the clothes, she says, this doctor, I want to thank you for what you did to Robert yesterday. Since he was very young, he has threatened us with a host of things. We've never called his bluff. But since you did, he's been a different child. Bang! Look, when you have kids, discipline means sometimes putting them through hard things. And it's not just telling them no or you can't do that. Sometimes we make them clean up after the dog in the backyard. And sometimes we make them learn to paint their room. And sometimes we make them pick weeds. We make them take difficult classes. We don't let them quit the soccer team because they think the coach hates them. We put them through the difficult things. Why? It builds their character. Now you see where I'm going with this, right? I had a friend who had a coach who used to tell him this, if you want to get strong, you have to lift heavy things. That's what discipline is. And if you're honest with me, if we're sitting over Starbucks, and I said, what were the things in your life that have happened to you that have built you and grown you and matured you? And you wouldn't say, when my house went up in value. Or when I won the lotto, you wouldn't say that. You would say, man, when I went through that, my divorce taught me things I never thought I'd have to learn. My family background, I had to grow past that. This illness that I got, that's what grew me. Disaster can be discipline. And it's not, I'm angry, I'm mad at you, I'm putting you in the corner. It's a way of growing us. Okay, let's keep reading. Look at verse 16. Long life is in her hand. The proverb is talking about wisdom. And long life is in her hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Well, that got my attention. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Now, let me stop for a moment. These are great verses that give us insight into the character of God, because he doesn't just get our attention by the difficult. God is very willing to teach us through positive reinforcement, by bringing good into your life, by bringing prosperity into your life, by bringing your relationships to this great new level. He's happy to do it. Okay, I want to introduce you right now to one of the cutest members of the Hawkins family. I think I have a picture. That's Mookie Hawkins right there. He was not named after Mookie Betts, but he is a good dog. And when we got him, we decided that we wanted to do some fun training with Mookie. We decided to do some agility training. Do you know why Mookie did all of those little exercises? Why he learned all of those? Because he loves me. Come on. And I happen to have a pocket full of bacon-flavored treats, right? It's just the way life works. I have a friend. When we got Mookie, I said, what's the best way to train him? Bill Hoffman was a dolphin trainer at SeaWorld for 25 years. I saw Bill Hoffman do the same thing with a beluga whale. Positive reinforcement works. And when they're not doing what they're supposed to do, you just don't pay any attention to them. When they do, you give them positive reinforcement and a fish or a bacon-flavored treat. And this works on children and pets and husbands. When they do something good, you applaud them. You appreciate them. Look, some of us have this warped view of God that he's angry, he's mad at us that we did something wrong. Look, man, he is so happy to do good things for you when you are following him. Look at this verse. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. In the Old Testament, they asked people to give of their first fruits, not their leftovers. It was like, hey, if you get to the end of harvest, you got something, you give that to God. No, you give the first. It's not like, well, I show up to church, and if the sermon's good, then I'll throw in something in the till. You know, we're not talking about tipping here. God says, look, man, if you honor me with this first fruit, then I will honor you. And notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, if you don't give, I'll pound you. It says, if you give, I will honor you. Now, I want to point this out. Haven't yet. You need to know this. If you ever read through the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs is a book of principles, not promises. All right? So these are general principles about the way things work. That if generally you do this, generally this will be your outcome. But it's not always going to be your outcome. But look, this is just the way life works. If you honor God, he will honor you. Proverbs 3:16, long life is in her hand, and by her left hand are riches and honor. Now, we talked last week about being honest with God and generous with God with our money. We're not going to talk about that this week. But look at that last line, the first line. Long life is in her right hand. Does that mean that if I follow God and I listen to his wisdom, I will live longer? Well, yes and no. There are certain things that if you live under the wisdom of God, you will just live a longer life. You know, he has later in Proverbs, he talks about drinking and don't drink to excess. Well, let me ask you a question. How many people, the last word they ever said was, hey, hold my beer? If you follow, you know, and God's not opposed to drinking. We talked last week, too, about the very first miracle was Jesus turned water into wine. But look, if you follow what God wants you to do, you'll just live longer. If you follow wisdom about your health, you'll just live longer. If you go to a doctor once a year and get a checkup, you'll live longer. But that doesn't mean Christians don't die early. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But look, God will bless the generous. God will bless those that are living for him. And it might also mean that he will bless you with a longer life. Look with me at verse 21. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discipline. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. That last line sounds awesome, doesn't it? Your sleep will be sweet. Americans are finding it harder and harder to sleep. Do you know what is at the center of chronic insomnia? What's at the center of chronic insomnia is this feeling like you are not safe. And it starts with something happens in your life and you are afraid. You get afraid. You know, you lose your job or you're not going to have enough money or you have a health issue. And then you don't sleep because you're worried about that. And then you start worrying that you're not going to sleep. And it just kind of, what these verses says, we start with Scripture, is if you prioritize Jesus, he will help you to feel safe. And if you found yourself stuck in a pattern like that with sleep, come up and talk to me afterwards because I can give you some good places to point. But here's what God's trying to say. Look, you follow me, you follow my wisdom, you will walk about in safety. You won't be worried about all the details of your life. You won't have to go to bed money stressed. You won't be reliving conversations that you had with people. You ever do that? Like the last thing, you're reliving what you should have said? I always have a really great comeback. 45 minutes afterwards. Good 45 minutes. You won't be worried about your future if you seek God and you seek his wisdom. You are able to do that. God can give you positive reinforcement in so many ways. Okay, I'm going to give you one more point. I had three or four more, but Scott, you know, took all the time. And number three, preparing for sudden disaster, I need you to understand this, that God has got you covered for your worst case scenario. The first time I gave this message, I had gotten the diagnosis, we had planned to have the surgery, and here we go. And I didn't want to give this last point about God's got me covered if I die, because I didn't want to jinx it. Like, what if the surgeon's knife slips? What if they have something with the anesthesia? You know, all these things going through my mind. But I need you to know this. John 3:14-17. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man, that's Jesus, must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have, what? Can you see that? Eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Does anybody ever, you know, like, I don't like the idea of dying, and I definitely don't like the idea of dying early, and that we hate that, that panics us. But let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever told you, hey, I'm retiring early? What's your view of that person? You're jealous, right? Oh my gosh, you're retiring. What'd you do? You know, did you invested in Amazon, didn't you? Like, wow, how could I get there? How about if somebody ever says that they graduated early? My son graduated in 3 years. It's so funny because he doesn't really attribute his genius to me at all. He graduated from UCLA in 3 years, and then he went on to, he was looking at law schools, and these are we're going to tour two law schools. You ready? Harvard and Yale. He had been accepted to Harvard and Yale, and I was going to take him on this trip. And as we're in the car, driving to the airport, he's musing out loud to himself, and he says this, and I'm not making this up. He says, well, I guess Grandpa was kind of smart. Yeah, you're right. He was pretty smart. When somebody retires early or graduates early, we applaud them. And I don't want to lose any of you. And when we lose somebody, we grieve. Because man wasn't intended to have to learn how to deal with death. They were intended to live forever, and then Adam and Eve made that mistake. And so because sin's in the world, we will die early, and it's always going to hurt, and it's always going to be painful, and I'm sorry about that. I want you to know, you're covered. If you know Jesus, you're covered. God so loved you that he came down to earth, that he died on a cross, and he was raised 3 days later to make a way, not so he could show off, but he could show you that when you die, you're resurrected too. You're covered. Look, I don't know what you're going through today, but over the course of my life, I'm learning this. That you need to have no fear of some disaster, the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence. He will be by your side, and he'll keep your foot from being snared. Why don't you bow your head? You know, I'm just going to make it simple today, okay? If you do not know Jesus, but you want to make sure that when you go, something's going to get us. It happens. Death is still 100% winning. But if you want to know this Jesus, if you want to be in relationship with him, it starts simply. It's not an easy life. It's a difficult life, but it starts simply. You just say this, God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of the things I wish I had never done. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I give you control of my life. I have been running my life and I have made a mess. I give you control. I give you the keys to my life. I give my life to you today. Now, if you prayed that, that begins a brand new life for you. We'd love to know about it. There's a box in the back that says, I said yes. There's cards in front of you, or you can talk to one of these staff. We want to help you along that journey. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for meeting us here today. And I pray for my friends who are going through difficult times that you swoop them up in your arms and you let them know that you're safe, that you've got them. In your name we pray. Amen.